And actually, both of them can run Linux. And I've seen Linux supercomputers. I've seen Linux fridges. A Linux fridge actually was done as a kind of concept thing in Japan, where you had a web browser on the door of the fridge. And the idea was that maybe you could just distract the person who was going to get even more fatter by just getting him stuck at the web browser instead of actually opening the door. And the thing is, it's very obvious that you don't want the supercomputer vendor to sell you the fridge, because that way the fridge will cost about $2 million, and it will actually warm up your house more than you really want to. But at the same time, you do want to have at least the potential of reusing the same objects in both of them. Both of them actually do need active cooling, so I don't know, maybe supercomputers actually use some parts of a regular fridge, and they have a subcontractor that just sells to both, whatever, Fujitsu and to GE. But on a software level, especially with software becoming so much more complex and so prevalent, and especially with the internet, even a fridge, actually, if you want to connect it to the internet, which maybe you don't, the software actually has to have all the complexity implied in networking and in communication with other people, with other machines out there. And that's something where Linux really shines, in that you have this modular approach and you want to have this kind of fragmentation where you have the supercomputer Linux vendors and you have the fridge Linux vendors, and everybody's happy. Obviously, there is the bad fragmentation, which we do want to avoid, the infighting, the Unix disease, where you have a lot of resources just going the wrong way. This goes on today with the same thing happening with the same vendors who are apparently just too used to fighting each other, fighting over Java these days instead of fighting over Unix. And it helps nobody, and it actually makes Java apparently fail the same way that Unix used to have problems, and everybody was saying that Unix was dying. Today, everybody's saying that Java is dying, and it's for the same reasons all over again. We definitely want to avoid that with Linux. We also want to avoid the other really negative side, the one that is closer to me, which is the technical fragmentation, which is that you have two or three companies doing completely different things, but those different things have common elements, like the supercomputer and the fridge, and those common elements should not have to redo the same common things all over again. When you want to have an internet stack, don't just make improvements to the fridge version. Try to keep the technical side unfragmented too. The solution to basically all of these problems is just modularity. And Linux is, I think this is one of the good strengths of Unix in general, and Linux in particular, where you don't try to solve every problem with one huge operating system. What you have is you have a lot of small, well-defined modules. The kernel is just one small module. You have lots of user applications that are just other, some not so small modules. And people can pick and choose. So what happens in a supercomputer is that it can still use the kernel, but it may not, for example, even need a web browser, because few people buy supercomputers for web browsing. They may actually use it to do chemistry or physics. And the fridge uses the kernel and a web browser, but it may not have an editor like you would have on a technical workstation. And this kind of modularity has really helped make it possible for Linux to go into a lot of these different spaces. Apart from the modularity, what's made Linux really good about not fragmenting, and the thing that makes me very hopeful that this, the thing that happened with Unix in general and the thing that's happening with Java now won't happen with Linux, is that the open source model itself is very actually anti-fragmenting, in that it forces people to live together in harmony even when not everybody actually wants to. There's the added benefit of people do remember what happened to Unix, and the Linux community itself has been very good in kind of reminding people about what is important and what issues you should really concentrate on instead of fighting between different companies. And it's actually sometimes fairly fun seeing just how nervous some companies are about appearing bad in the eyes of the community. So all of this has actually made, in my opinion, the fragmentation issue work out very well for Linux. So that's the answer to the first question. Long answer, boring question. The other question that always comes up is the question of commercialism in one form or another. It can be veiled. Sometimes it's how do you feel about commercial companies like Red Hat creating multi-billionaires and for technology you created? In many other cases, the question is, what do you think will happen to the technical community now that Linux has been commercialized? And basically what it all boils down to is that Linux is very often seen as non-commercial, having non-commercial values, more highbrow values, more friendly values. And that's true. But it's really not a clash of commercialism versus the Linux values, because quite frankly, a lot of commercial companies also have values. And actually, it tends to be the better commercial companies that do have values. And a lot of these values that Linux has work really well in a commercial setting. And I don't actually think that there is that much of a tension between the commercial side and the technical side in the Linux world. The real point of Linux is not to be anti-commercial. That was not what I started Linux to be. I know that's not what the people I know really care about. The real point of Linux has always been to make something that is nice to use and where people actually can control what they're using. And that's actually something that even very commercial companies should strive for, just because every good commercial company should strive for a happy user who feels in control of his life. I mean, whether that company is doing technology or not. The other thing about Linux is that it, or open source in general, is that it actually tries to move software from being a witchcraft to being a science. What happened in the Dark Ages when science came to be, and actually before that, in other places like Greece and Egypt, was that people started openly discussing ideas, and suddenly you didn't have this shamanistic company anymore that just told you what to do, but you had an exchange of ideas. And this works in science, but it works very well in computers too. People always have called computer programming computer science, but quite frankly, it hasn't always been. A lot of the programs you see today are basically put together by shamans. And you just take it, and if the computer crashes, you walk around it with your shins three times, and maybe it's okay, right? And that's how it works. That's not how it should work. So the technical ideas of having people build on existing infrastructure, whether at the same company or not, really happen to be very good for the commercial side too. This is what science hasn't been bad for companies. The same way the open source ideals certainly aren't bad for companies. It also makes people much more comfortable. Just the normal users being able to go to different vendors is something that I think a lot of people really care about, and the potential of actually changing the way you work without having to beg for it from some unnamed company is something that is important.